we're beginning Midrash Tanchuma, and I'm purposely not introducing Midrash because very often people discuss things in theory, they don't begin to know what they're talking about, so I want you to experience it firsthand, and maybe in a week or two, I'll have an introduction about what we're doing. I know that's unusual, but my feeling is that the more we talk about it and the less we do it, the less you'll understand what I'm talking about. Experience it a little bit, and then we will we'll go back to it. The Midrash Tanchuma begins very often with Rabbi Tanchuma's Midrash, and so that's why it's called Midrash Tanchuma. And the Midrash Tanchuma also very often begins with Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us Rabbi. So that's why it's also referred to very often as the Midrash Yelamdeinu. The Midrash Tanchuma amongst the Midrashim is probably the easiest Midrash we have, and the reason we're starting from the beginning is because I don't think in our forum we would be able to cover it on the Parsha each week. I'd rather just go in order. But I could tell you that when I was your age, I was learning it on the Parsha each week. It's not so long, it's very pleasurable once you get the hang of it, of how you learn Midrash, but Zachem, you should take it. If they make this, and this is the only Midrash I know of that they make in small, like, pocket form, like a siddur, because it's a Midrash which you could really take around with you and learn on the Parsha and really enjoy. Beautiful, beautiful Midrash. Easy to read, easy to understand. Let's begin. Midrash Tanchuma and Bereishis. So, begins with Bereishis. Bereishis Bara Elohim. God created in the beginning. So the Midrash says the following. Zeh shamar katzuv Hashem b'chokhma yasad aretz. That which the verse says, God laid the foundation of the earth with wisdom. So when God created his world, he took counsel with the Torah. So when it says God laid the foundation with wisdom, that's a reference to the Torah. God took counsel with the Torah to lay the foundation to the world. Then he created the world. As the verse says in Mishlei, the Torah testifies about itself. I have the counsel, I have salvation, I have understanding, I have might. If the world wasn't yet created, how was the Torah written before the world was created? God takes counsel with the Torah say, about creating the world. Well, how is it written? So here we have a famous Midrash, and don't ask me what it means. The Midrash says, on a white fire on top of, within black fire. You guys understand? Good. I don't know what it means, but it's a famous Midrash. Yeah.
I thought it was the other way around.
It says, Bit Ishvon, in black fire. Shnemar, as the verse says in the Song of Songs, Kibutzotav Tatzalim Shechorot Ka'oriv. His locks are pearls black like a raven. Kibutzotav Tatzalim, what does it mean? Kibutzotav Tatzalim, his locks are curls. In Kol Kotz VeKotz, on every corner of every letter in the Torah, there are Tilei Tilim Shel Halachot. You have myriads of halachos that rest on the corner of each letter. You know, the yud has the bottom right corner, the top left corner, the bottom left corner. Rabbi Akiva knew how to look at each letter and tell you how many halachos and what halachos we derive from each part of each shape of the letter. Meaning, you look at an aleph is composed of a long vav and two yuds. What does that mean? You know, we look at gracious, we say that's a base. Well, what is a base? A base is a resh and a vav. What does that mean? Why is that important, the first base in the Torah? We don't know. Rabbi Akiva knew. We have a braisa from Rabbi Akiva that explains it. Deep, deep, deep Kabbalah. Well, we don't know what it means. We have it. You could read it. You could get through Aleph, maybe in the beginning of base, and then you'll start seeing it's all deep. You don't understand what he's talking about. We say, when it says kvutzotav, it says his lot. So kvutzotav, the Midrash learns, is like kotz. Kotz is a thorn, kotz is a corner. On each corner of each letter, there are myriads of halachos hanging. Ketza, how so? Ktuv, it says in the Torah, velot halelu Hashem kochi, thou shalt not desecrate my holy name. Imata oseh chetkei, if you make it instead of lo te halelu, you shouldn't praise my holy name. Just take out a little bit of ink and the ches becomes a hay, right? The whole difference between a ches and a hay is a drop of ink. So, if you just take out one letter, atamachiv tolam, you destroy the world, you change the whole meaning. Don't praise God. says, Lo Techalelu, do not desecrate God's holy name. You take out a drop of ink, it becomes Lo Techalelu, don't praise God's name. Look at how much destruction comes from a drop of ink in a letter. One drop in a whole letter. So each drop within the letter has a lot of meaning. We don't know how to apply this. The Midrash gives us a small example. The Pasuk says, Kol Anshamati Halelka, all souls praise God. Add a drop of ink to that. What does it say? Kol Anshamati Halel, all souls will desecrate. Right? Drop of ink, the world of a difference. Imata say, Hey Chet, Atamachid Kol Olam. You make the Hey into Chet, you destroy the world. Hey, so too take the verse. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Imata say Dalid Reish. What's the difference between a dalid and a reish? Who knows? Right. Listen to the man.
He's really smart.
The difference isn't the leg at the end. Technically, halachically, you don't need this leg at the top right. If you have a sharp corner, it's a dalit. If you have a rounded corner, it's a resh. A drop of ink makes the difference. Now here you have the puzzle. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, with a dalit. If you take off a drop of ink, it becomes a resh. Hashem Acher, foreign God. Right? Drop of ink, all the difference in what the word means. So this gives us the examples of how there could be misunderstandings because of drops of ink within the letter. Now we also have to understand that each drop that composes the letter also has depth of meaning. We don't know how to apply that.
Why is that so fascinating? I mean, any word, if you just make minimal changes and change the actual word, it doesn't change it a lot. Like, this doesn't sound like such a revolutionary, incredible idea. You're just saying, change your word and change the meaning. Yeah.
I know that.
Okay.
That wouldn't apply, though, in any, like, language like English or something like that.
Why not?
You take out a drop of ink, the letter's just a deformed letter. It doesn't become another letter. In most cases.
I can't really think of an example, but...
Most Hebrew letters are combinations of...
Agreed. But, composition of letters, I get that. I mean, that's the concept of the saying is to change the word and change the meaning.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
That's what I'm saying. The Midrash is giving us examples where the example shows us how a drop of ink changes the meaning. What the Midrash is indicating is that every drop that composes the letter also has meaning. Not just, we're taking simple examples. How Echad could become Acher, how Halel could be Chalel.
I'd be interested to know how the Reish and the Dalet are connected. Why are they that similar when they could be that different? Chad, Acher. Completely different.
Right. So there are many levels of understanding in that, and we're not going to touch any of them.
Let's continue.
No, this is already deep Kabbalah. I don't venture to know any of it. So let's see what the Midrash has to tell us. Shneimal, if you change the Dalet into Reish, you're destroying the world. Shneimal, the verse says, "Lo tishtachaveh le'lachel." Do not bow to another being. Ki chashuv Hashem, the verse says. Imatel said bet kat instead of kichashu ba Hashem, they lied in God's name. You make it into a chaf. Again, the difference between a base and a chaf, whether it's a sharp corner or a rounded corner, that's the whole difference. It becomes kichashu ka Hashem. They lied just like God. They're saying God is, In kadosh ka Hashem, the verses are none that are as holy as God. Imatel said kat bet. If you change the cup into a base, you add a drop of ink, and then becomes, there's no holiness in Hashem. Tachrib Tolam, you're destroying the world. V'imot achatka, one letter, a single drop can make such a difference. Kol sheken ha'tivat kula, certainly the whole word, how much meaning is in each drop that it takes to write a word. Lekach ne'emak v'tzutav tatzalim. That's why the verse says, his little drop, the little drops of ink, are all tatzalim. They're like thousands and thousands of halachot in each little drop of ink. V'pichach David mekales ve'omer. That's why David praises and says, Rechava mitzvatcha me'od. How wide is your mitzvah? Ve'omer ha'ukah me'od midayim. King David says, it is longer than all of earth. V'hi hayta omenet lechol ma'aseh bereshit. And she was the omenet. She was like the nursemaid, she was like the nanny for all of creation.
Meaning Torah?
Torah. Shenemar ve'yetzlo Amon. As the verse says, I was by God Amon. What does Amon mean? Amon could mean a nanny. Halpikri Amon, Ela Uman. What does it mean she was the nanny? It comes from the word Uman. Uman could mean I was brought up by him. Not that I was the nanny by God, but rather I was brought up by God. Uman.
The next scripture pronounces it Omen.
Omen? Okay. It's probably Omen, right. Not Amon, but Omen. Al-Fikri Amon ela Omen. Right. The Pasuk says Amon. Vayetzlo Amon. So the Medrash says that the Torah is what was used as the blueprint to create the world. This is a concept that you guys probably came across many times. Right? Familiar with this concept. Yeah? Uvan atah shamayim v'yasad haaretz, and with the Torah, God spread the heavens, lay foundations to the earth. Shneimar, the verse says, Im lo b'riti u'man v'layla, if not for my covenant of day and night, the covenant of learning Torah, the Torah that's what's learned day and night, u'kot shamayim v'arat l'samte, I couldn't have laid the laws of the heavens and the earth. Uvan kavash yam u'kyanus, and with the Torah, God captured the ocean, shelo yasav yishtoch t'olam, that he wouldn't overflow and wash away the world. Shneimar, ha'otil lo tirhonu m'ashem, מפני לא תחילו. What's the end of the pasuk? Do they quote it there? רובה הים לימו גלב. That says, I calmed the sea. So this is a common theme in many midrashim. The midrash views the ocean as always trying to overcome its boundaries. Right. Waves are the ocean always trying to come out, and God scared it to its place. And the earth, God did something, either yelled at it, or smashed his foot down on it, or here the Medrash says God used the Torah to contain the ocean so it shouldn't wash onto the earth, wash away the earth. Uva kavash tatuhum, shelo yatif t'olam. And with the Torah, God held down the depths that they shouldn't wash away the world. Shneimar, v'chukko chug al p'nei tehom. The Torah says God used me when he laid the laws, the limits to the depths. And with the Torah, Hashem created the sun and the moon. Shneimar, Ko amar Hashem, noten shemesh leor yomam, chukot yarech v'kochavim leor laila, roga hayam leyemu galar, Hashem tzavot shemo. And God used the Torah to create the sun and the moon. As it says, so said Hashem, who gives the sun the light by day, and the laws of the moon and stars to give us light by night. So Hashem says, I don't know how the Midrash derives it from this pasuk, maybe from the continuation. The idea that the Midrash is telling us the foundation of the world was the Torah, the beginning of creation. The Midrash says, I want you to know how it all began with the Torah. And Hashem gave the Torah to Israel, that they should deal with the Torah. And the mitzvot, 2 points. One is learning the Torah, one is doing the mitzvot. Yomam v'layla, day and night, shneimar, v'agita bo yomam v'layla. Yoshua is told, learn the Torah day and night. V'omer, kim b'tuat Hashem chetzo, v'ayach kes shatul al-fagimayim. And it says, tzadik is someone who desires the Torah and learns it day and night. Shebishvir shomrei Torah, ha'olam umet. Next point. When you read Medrash, sometimes you could miss the point. Like, oh, it's all one long idea. Medrash really is telling us another point. You know why the world's standing? Why is it still around? For those that keep the Torah. Shebishvi shumrei Torah olam umet. Shekin amar Chana. That's why what Chana said in her song.
For those or because of those?
The word bishvil could mean both. Usually it means for, but in Medrash terminology it could also mean because of. You're right. Bishvil could mean both. I don't know which one. That's what Hannah said. Ki Hashem etzupe aretz. God has the foundations of the earth. Umi emetzupe aretz. Who are the foundations of the earth? Elu shomrei haTorah. That's a reference to the people who watch the Torah. Shebizkutam ushteta haTorah. That in their merit, the Torah was laid down. God spread out earth over them. There, Bayu Yosef ushteta haTorah. So here they make the correction down below. That's what I thought my friend said. They should say, Ushtat HaOlam. For them, the world was given foundation, not the Torah. He corrects it down below. They feel it. That's what makes sense in the Midrash. To me too.
What's the difference?
Is it for the people who keep the Torah that the Torah was given foundation, or that the world was given foundation? He keeps saying the world, and then here he suddenly says the Torah.
I thought in the beginning it said that God spoke that the Torah is the blueprint. Why does the world?
And then God created the world, and the Torah, the world is here for those that keep the Torah. So then he just said that sentence. God created the world for those that will keep it.
Right.
And then he says it's in their merit that the Torah was given foundation. No, the world was given foundation. That's the idea he's been expressing. So that's I want to check if your edition says like mine, but Eitz Yosef says it should say the world. Tanya, also the verse that he quotes is that that God spread out the earth over those people, meaning they're the ones that are the foundation of the earth. Tanya, the Brisa says, Amar Shum Min Nakish. Lam Ne'emam Ma'asev Reshit Yom Chad Yom Shni Yom Shishi Yom Uvi Yom Chamshi Yom HaShishi. Why is it that in creation we say day 1, 2, 3, day 4, day 5, the 6th day? Why? Hey Yetera Lama, why do we have that extra hey, the 6th day? Each one is just called first, day one, day two. So it's not called the first, the second. Says Reish Lakish, Melamed Shitna Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'asev Reishit. This is teaching us that God made a condition with all creation. Amar lehem, and he said to them, Im Yisrael mekablim haTorah sheyesh ba chamisha sfarim. If Israel will accept the Torah that has the five books, Mutav, okay, that's good. But if they don't accept it, I'm turning you back to emptiness and void. So that's why it says Hashishi. The hey indicates the five books. That God was saying, all of you, all 6 days of creation are contingent on that hey. That hey is the five books of the Torah that the Jews will accept. There's another understanding, we'll see if the Midrash brings it. That God told them, you're all contingent on the sixth. What's the sixth? The sixth of Sivan, when the Jews accept the Torah. You're all contingent on the sixth that's still to come. We will say that, yeah.
I thought that the first day had a difference. Like it says,
there's a chod and not the first. There's one.
Yeah.
It's also true. Also true.
Yeah.
They can both.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
First is indicative of more to come. In day one, God wasn't binding himself to anything. It was day one. It wasn't first. First is so when there's second. On day one, there was no second.
Okay.
That's why day one is called one, not first.
And then the second
is the right.
Day, fourth day.
That's a simple understanding. The deeper one I'll share with you later. Rashi, over there. V'chen bnei Korach amru. So too, the sons of Korach said in their song. They said, "Nemogim eretz."
Chol
yoshvea. Anochi tihan. Zo haTorah. That's a reference. The earth and everyone that's on it is really melting, and God gives them form. That's the Torah. Yehud also says shepatach. Yeah, that God opened, so to speak, God opened it by giving us the Ten Commandments, and Moshe Rabbeinu merited to accept that Torah. The Pisha Torah, Solita Anava V'Chitra Yir'a. When we speak about the Torah, the Suliata, the heel, is modesty, and the crown is awe of Hashem. Suliata Anava, the heel of the Torah is modesty, Shnemar Ekev Anava Yirat Hashem. The heel, Ekev Anava, could mean, Ekev, what does Ekev mean? Ekev could be the heel, Ekev could mean the result of footsteps, the follow. So Ekev Anava, the simple understanding in the verse is, as a result of modesty, you can attain Yirat Hashem, fear of God. The Medrash understands it as Ekev Anava, the heel of the Torah is Anava, being a modest person. The Chitra, the crown of the Torah is Yirah, Shneimar Reshit, Chokma Yirat Hashem, and the Medrash is understanding Reshit like the word Rosh, like head. And Reshit could also mean the important part of wisdom. So the important part of wisdom of the Torah, the crown of the Torah is being God-fearing. Vishneim v'Moshe Rabbeinu, and both were in Moshe, as the verse says, Vayish Moshe Anav Mod, Moshe was very modest, and he also had Yirah, or fear of God, as the verse says, Ki Yireh Me'Avit Na'Elokim, he feared to look at God. So what have we seen so far? Yeah, let's summarize what we saw so far. We saw... And we saw that when we speak about the Torah...
Within it, all the letters, each drop. Way, and you get like attached to it.
Okay.
And I found, I don't know, I was thinking about this, like, the way that we talked about Hashem, you know, bringing the ways back into the world, you know, not letting sleep over the border. So, too, it's like, kind of references the ink, because one difference, like, one, you know, the ink smudging over into a round creates a whole disaster. Like if the waves were, if anything like were taken, it was like smudged over on the world, if anything was smudged that way, whatever, it would be a disaster. It wouldn't work. The waves would come over to the earth and swallow it up, whatever.
It's not just an example of your episode. The letters here and the roses connected to you.
Okay.
I still don't understand how he derives the idea of God consulting the Torah.
At either Torah, because the Torah is called Amon, or in Mishle, Shlomo refers to the Torah as Amon, or Torah, in much of Mishle, Shlomo speaks on behalf of the Torah. And what's the Pasuk? Just a second. He didn't bring that pasuk, but there's another pasuk in Chazal Darshan. It also says, Hashem v'chokhma yasad aretz. God laid foundations to the earth with wisdom. What does it mean with wisdom? So we have on tradition that the word chokhma in Mishlei can refer to the Torah, da'at, bina, tushia. A lot of words in Mishlei are really codes for the Torah. So when he says, God laid the foundations of the earth with wisdom, what is the Shlomo saying? So we have on tradition that what he meant to say is the wisdom of the Torah.
Right.
Those are some of the indicators, but there are more.
I have this idea as God is omnipotent, omnipresent. There is no beginning, middle, end at all. So that means that he was there before creation, and he's there past the time of Mashiach.
Right.
In a sense, like all the merit that we claim to Torah lover, God, offers God, even though he was there before the creation, it could be that creation that assisted the creation, because there is no time. It doesn't make sense to try to explain.
So to speak, that made it work.
Yeah, you know, knowing that the creation will be such a joyous thing, you know, throughout the creation, can in itself give reason for creation. If you're talking about someone or something, or like understand God as being limitless in time.
Yeah, that could be understood based on the Midrash. The Midrash said that where I'm destroying the whole world. It's all going to be over. And going with what you're saying, you understood. That's the thing. If you stress too much the tragedy, then at some point it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Thing. That back to the nice source for it.
Destroy the world or threaten to kill the angels?
No, destroy the world. That I'm going to turn the whole world back to this old level.
How did you understand that?
That meant
question.
Question with a question?
Please.
Like Amara said, there was an Amora who didn't have food. It was really, really poor. And I think it was Erev Yom Kippur. He didn't have what to eat. He has to prepare for the fast. He's got nothing to eat all week. So he took a bite out of a piece of garlic. Had a head of garlic, he took a bite. What could he do? That was all he had to eat. And he fainted. He's eating garlic on an empty stomach, preparing for a bath. And his son came and saw him. And at some point he smiled, and at some point, like, fire came out of him. So then when he awoke,
out of the son,
out of the father. The son asked him, "Dad, what happened?" So he said, "I passed out." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "And God came to me, and I said to him, I'm suffering so much. Help me out." And God said, "Look, this is the way you were born. You were born with this mangle. I can't change it for you now, but what I could do is start the world from scratch. And we'll see, maybe you'll end up being born under a different mazel. Maybe." God tells him, "You'll be born under a different mazel." You want to do that? Want to start from scratch? We'll see where you're born. So he said, "Have I lived out more life, more of my life, or is there more life left to live? What's the way, is there more salt on the top of the hourglass or the bottom of the hourglass?" So God said, "No, you passed. More is on the bottom of the hourglass." So he said, "In that case, fine. We'll leave it. We won't start from scratch. Let's skip the rest of the story. What does that mean?" God said, "Start from scratch. Let's say maybe. We'll see where you're born." How do you understand that?
The world is not as cool as the old style Nintendo. The old style Nintendo was a reset button.
Funny,
just terrible. I'll say a different word, but more nice.
I'm with you. Okay. Now you have two questions.
I would definitely hit the reset button like 5 times a day, probably.
That is simple. I don't understand why he would choose to keep his life only if he has a little bit left.
Well, he was told it might be just as bad the next time. God didn't tell him to reset 5 times like he said. God said, "I'm only doing it once, and you might be better off."
Right. It also might be worse.
But to relive everything he just lived through, he didn't want to do that a second time.
Be like that.
He could have had to relive all of it.
Okay, so does he come out better after this? He comes back up, he's like, I'm going to get it. We really but there depressed for the rest of
the Really?
That's interesting. So,
Chal writes, he says, it seems almost comical. He says, "What's the proof that there's a world to come? Well, God is good, and it couldn't have been that God just wanted to give us this world, because it's not good enough. This world has so much suffering, that can't be the purpose." He says, "Just look around. You see how much people suffer here? And there's no way that's the purpose we were created for." We have it pretty good these days. We wouldn't say Ramchal's logic. We'd say, "No, if I only had a little bit more money, if I only had a little bit more." I'd say, "No, this was a pretty good place."
Well, depends how much denial you're in.
Huh?
Depends how much denial you're in. How much news you watch. If you watch a lot of news, you'd be like, "No, I don't think so. I think in a lot of cases, money and high standard of living aside what people need security and safety, like formal adherence. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the world's getting better. If the world ends,